Shadow Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. Today is Wednesday, December 16th, and I am completely delighted today. You know, Wednesdays is our interview day, and I had got my nerve up, and I actually connected with Mr. Brad Yates. He is an EFT teacher. I know I've spoken to you about EFT. He's a personal consultant, and he uses EFT as a way to help his clients achieve the goals that they want. And let me just introduce him right now. He's on the line. Brad, thank you for joining us. I'm totally delighted.
Oh, my pleasure, Lonnie. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Well, why don't you explain and tell us what EFT is?
Certainly. So EFT is short for Emotional Freedom Technique, which is a process of tapping. And I know that if folks are new to tapping, it's going to sound a little strange, but it's a process of tapping with our fingertips on places around our face and torso primarily. And this is based on acupuncture. So for thousands of years in Chinese medicine, they've said there's a flow of energy through the body. And when it's flowing in its natural way, we experience our natural state of health and well-being, physically and emotionally. And when this energy gets stuck in some way, then we don't feel so good. So in traditional acupuncture, they would stick needles in these key points to stimulate the healthy flow of energy. With this process, we're tapping on these points to break up these blockages to get the energy flowing in a healthy way. And now we also have modern research showing that this it expedites the parasympathetic nervous system. So in simple terms, it's the fastest form of stress relief that I know of. And so just tapping on this, on these points, clears up anxiety, fear, these uncomfortable emotions, and helps us to relax, feel, clear out stress, and feel a whole lot better. And in this place, then we also have the freedom to make better choices and take better actions.
Okay, that's really awesome. Well, one of the things about EFT that, I'll be honest, EFT changed my life. I think it was 2009 was the year I learned about it. It really manifestly changed my life. Many of my listeners know that I grew up in very unfortunate circumstances as a child, very violent household. And I was able to thrive in my life and make it go, but I still had a lot of emotional baggage that tormented me. And so one of the things about EFT that happened when I went, one of the hardest parts, I honestly, was when you're doing EFT, you basically tap. But you also end a session, begin a session with a phrase that is intrinsic to the healing, correct?
Yes.
So why don't you share that? Because I personally had I couldn't even say those words when we first started our tapping session. Basically, one of the fundamental phrases is, I deeply and completely love honor and approve of myself or accept myself. You can make that as grandiose as you want, but I could not even say those words. I was just, it made me cry. I think that's a lot of the resistance to the whole tapping situation.
What it is. When I work, I have changed that to say, even though I have this problem, I choose to love and accept myself.
Oh, that's great.
Which tends to make it a little bit easier. It still has the same, same basic sentiment, but it, for a lot of folks, saying I love myself just feels too hard, too false, and it create a wall.
This is exactly why, and I really appreciate you being here. This is exactly why it's important. I did hire a personal consultant. I did hire a personal EFT teacher. I didn't just go to the YouTubes and start doing, get my transformation. You can, but I really do believe it helps to have a person who understands the process help you transition through it. I don't hire somebody now because I'm sort of on a roll. I can kind of like I've got my, what do you call those life, the life jacket on already. You know what I mean? I'm already floating. So, but I honestly, one of the things I really wanted to ask you about when you say you choose, because part of what's happened is as you heard in my intro, we talk about social engineering programs and we talk about how we have been socially engineered to just live in fear, hate ourselves. All of those negative emotions help us be completely obedient and compliant with the forces that are destroying our culture. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, what do you think, like we live in this kind of a culture that's collapsing in on ourselves. You know, we've got Fukushima. We basically have nuclear problems going on. The more I dug into the nuclear issues, the more I realized, like, oh my God, it's everywhere, and the devastation is everywhere, and it's going to last for a long time. And that's why I named this show The Age of Fission. We must learn how to cope with it. It's very important, and I believe that EFT is an intrinsic part of helping us reprogram ourselves, because isn't that essentially what you're doing? You're sort of reprogramming yourself. That's what it feels like to me. Brad, are you there? Oh, Lord. Did we lose Mr. Brad Yates? Hello?
Hello?
Hi again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I bumped my mute button.
Okay, good. That's all right. We're all human. It's perfectly okay. So did you hear what my question was about?
Oh, no, I heard everything. Yeah.
Do you think it is reprogramming, or is it that's just too simplification, or what is that?
I think it's very much that. I use the word programming in my work a lot because from the very beginning, we make choices based on programs. We learn this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. And so as human beings, we have to learn to do things automatically. We can't, you know, get up in the morning and go, okay, how do I get out of bed now? I have to move this leg, put this foot down, move this leg. We have to, in order to survive, we have to make a lot of our actions, as many actions as possible, automatic.
Right.
So we don't think about it. But we do this with all kinds of things. So if we misread a circumstance, an example I sometimes use is if you're a small child and you go into the kitchen and the stove is on and you touch the burner and it burns your hand. Now, a good lesson to learn is don't touch the burner when it's hot. A misreading of the situation is, ooh, the kitchen is a dangerous place.
Uh-huh.
And so we do this sometimes. We misread the situation. And so, you know, depending on the circumstances, that person may grow up and always be uncomfortable in the kitchen because they've misinterpreted what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we go through life with all this programming. And so what we're doing with EFT is we're creating an opening to change that programming, to look at it and go, okay, wait a minute. It wasn't the kitchen that was dangerous. It was just that hot burner. It was just this one particular thing. Or if somebody said something really mean to me, wait a minute, they were having a bad day. It's not, what they said about me wasn't true.
Right.
You know, all kinds of different things like this.
It helps you not take it personally. It helps you understand that you have power and control in your life.
Absolutely. So, and what you were saying about the fear and hatred, So what happens is our human brain, when it was formulated the way it is, hundreds of thousands of years ago, when we see something that's threatening, our thinking goes...
Brad, you know what? I think we're not on the air. Hold on. I'm going to call back. I think we lost... Hold on. Let me send a little text to the producer of the show.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at our Skype thing, and I don't see the EFT thing. I don't see the radio show popping up. I see us talking, but...
I see UCY Radio showing up on my screen.
You do?
Yeah.
So... okay, because I can't see it myself.
Oh.
So maybe it's on yours and not on. Let me see. Let me just see if I can get through. Well, I think that, I don't know. Let's just keep talking. Let me send her an email because I apologize for this, but I can't see the Skype thing and I can't see that I can call them. So hopefully they're on. Let me see what she says. Hold on. Hold on, I'm sorry.
Sure.
Okay, great. Well, I think that we're on. She just sent me. She goes, I think I hear you. So let's keep going. I beg your pardon for that interruption. But.
No, it's all right. We want to make sure that it's hurt. So as I said, the brain responds to threat. When it picks up a threat, our brain goes into fight or flight. And so the brain function goes from the frontal cortex, where we have creative and clear thinking and problem solving, and retreats back into the midbrain, where we can run fast or fight hard, which mm-hmm. was great at the time when we were facing wild animals and neighboring tribes with spears and things like that. But nowadays, most of the threats that we're facing are not life-threatening in that moment. But still, we retreat into that more primitive mind, and we're not thinking as clearly. So this is great for people out there who want to control us. If they can get us into a place of fear and hate, then we're, as you said earlier, we're much more obedient.
That's right.
We're not thinking clearly. We're not looking and going, well, that doesn't make any sense. We go, oh, yes, yes, whatever you say, whatever we need to do. So... And we don't think as creatively. So even in terms of Fukushima, we want to use the tapping to clear out fear so we can, and it doesn't mean we say, oh, well, now I'm not in a place of fear, so now I don't care, and whatever happens, happens. No, we're now in a place where we can think more creatively and go, okay, what are the options? What are the different things that I can do? What are the solutions to this situation? And how can I find a solution that's really going to be for the highest good of all concerned?
Right.
As opposed to being in a place of fear where we just don't think as well.
Great. Well, that's exactly what that's kind of the motivation for the theme of my show, is to help people understand that, you know, there's a cacophony of problems that we have going on. And Fukushima is, you know, we've got Monsanto destroying our food crops. We've got nanotechnology creating fake human beings and fake creatures. I mean, if you think about all the mad scientists gone mad, you know, like you just like start going, ah, you know what I mean? Like I am grateful that I learned EFT before Fukushima happened and before I found, like millions of Americans, I, for about a year and a half, bought the storyline that Fukushima was fine, just fine. And then I had a nightmare when I woke up and I was like, I literally woke up. I had a dream in the middle of the night about it. And the more I dug into it, I really didn't understand any of this industrial mega corporation greed and how they view us literally as assets on a balance sheet. We really, literally mean nothing to them. And that's a hard place for people to cope with because people don't like to feel like they're meaningless. You know what I mean? So I value EFT. Now, when we're talking about tapping on places on the body, you know, we're on the radio, so it's kind of a hard visual, but people that are listening to this radio show, what would be a good... I actually looked up online some really great articles that I had seen that you wrote for the... What's it called? The Huffington Post.
Oh, yeah.
And they were really great because they had links to your teaching videos, your tapping videos, right, that showed people how to do it. And it was a good, quick link. Now, you have a pretty awesome website. It's called tapwithbrad.com. On the top of it says, Tap with Brad, feel better, do better, live better. And that, frankly, has been my experience with EFT, which is why I'm an enthusiastic promoter of it, because I think it, I really believe that we must constantly save ourselves from this emotional, like, we live in a country where people are like slathering dogs, like a pack of wolves going after each other. You know, they love to call each other names and be disrespectful. And the reason is people are so angry and frustrated. Like, we knock at our senators' doors and our congressmen's doors, and they're not listening. You know, Friday, for example, I called my elected officials about the catastrophe going on in St. Louis, which you may not know about because you're living on the West Coast. We kind of have a blanket. We're living in a propagandized country where we don't hear information. But there is a catastrophe, a nuclear catastrophe on the verge of, like, the first Manhattan Project dump site was dumped right next to the airport at St. Louis. And right next to it, they built an industrial foosrap, like a industrial dump site, waste dump site there. That dump site's on fire, and it's only a quarter of a mile away from the nuclear pollution. On top of that, people were it was illegally sold, and people now live less than a mile, 5 miles, 6 miles away from this leaking nuclear dump site. So when I found out about it doing this radio show, I'm like, we need some urgent, who cares about how they're going to remediate it? We need to get those 1,000 families away from this disaster. And nothing's happening. So I called the radio show. And you know what happened after I called the radio show? On my computer, on my PC, my Skype was removed. Now, that, if I had not known about tapping, I mean, as soon as it happened, I just like, I started tapping. Like, I was like, you know, it's hard to feel like the government's picking on you. You know what I mean?
Speaking of starting tapping, I'm going to suggest right now, just as you said, I've got well over 600 videos on YouTube that are quick ways of watching the tapping. But just for folks right now, one of the points that we tap is called the collarbone point. And if you feel where your collarbones just about come together, there's a little U-shape at the base of your throat. And you can, if you make a fist and tap right there over the area where the collarbones pretty much come together, try about where if you were a gentleman wearing a tie, where you'd knot the tie. If you go ahead and just tap right there, so even as we're talking, and just as you're talking about the issue in St. Louis, there's a part of us that starts to go, oh no, oh no, and we start to have this fear response, which for most people is completely inappropriate because a lot of the people listening may be nowhere near St. Louis.
Right.
And so, but already the body's going into this fear response, and then we start thinking less clearly. We start, you know, making choices that may not be appropriate because we're trying to think of a way to protect ourselves in a situation where there's nothing that needs to be done for many people
right
in that moment, to where we, and as we tap and we allow ourselves to relax and we go, okay. And again, it's not a matter of relaxing and going, oh, well, I'm not upset, so I won't do anything about it. It allows us to be in a place of, okay, now that I can think more clearly again, what can I do here? Is this something that I can do something about? What can I do? What are the different things that I can, you know, if I'm there, well, it makes plans to start moving. Who do I talk to? What are some things that I can do, some efforts that I can make to remediate the situation?
Right.
And so we want to get out of that place of fear and panic so that we can think as clearly as possible and come up with the best choices, and we can really turn around everything. Even the and you talked about people don't want to feel like they don't mean anything. That's a huge thing, is a lot of people do feel meaningless. They feel unimportant.
Uh-huh.
And because other people may treat them that way.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing. for everyone listening, and I'm speaking to you, you are important.
Yes.
And tap as you hear that, because there's a part of you that may be saying, no, I'm, because you may have gotten so many messages that you're not important. As you said, Lonnie, in your childhood, you got a lot of messages about you're not important, you're not worthy and deserving of love, and not worthy and deserving of respect, which was never true, but it came from people who didn't know any better, people who caught up in their own messes. Same with the greed. We could look at corporate greed and say, you know, what's with these people? They're being so evil. Don't they have enough money? Well, not in their minds. Their programming tells them there's never enough. I need to have more. And if people get stepped on in the process, that's just what it's going to take. Because their programming tells them that they have to keep making more, and that it has to be done in a certain way. So I don't believe in evil people. I believe in messed up programming. And unfortunately, a lot of people have this messed up programming, and people get hurt in that process. So if we can get everybody tapping and people can calm down, and greed will melt away because people will be able to recognize, oh, wait. And so what happens then is a lot of people then get so upset about corporate greed that then they won't allow themselves to have any financial abundance.
Right.
Because they get this idea of, see, money's bad. Money's the root of all evil. No, it's not. But it can be used in unfortunate ways. But you can make money in good ways and do a lot of good with money. Mm-hmm. So we want to clear our fears around that and not blame money for what is being caused by fear. Mm-hmm. And I love that you're at the end of your intro, you said, love is more powerful than fear.
Yes, that's actually kind of my life motto, actually, to be honest. Like, that is something that sort of carried me through as a child. Like, I recognized that intuitively as a small child. Like, I have a very big heart, and I'm very, I've always been kind of a very kind person. I was one of the eight children. I was the seventh of eight children. And I recognized my parents' anxiety as children. Like, I knew it wasn't about us individually. But I always clung to that phrase. I learned it like when I was in fourth grade. My fourth grade teacher said that to me. Well, love is far. When she was teaching us the symbols of math, she used that phrase to help us remember that love is greater than fear. And she had this like little way she wrote it. And that phrase carried me through. And I think it's a very fundamental thesis, you know, idea about how humans have survived. This is one of the things I learned early on. Nobody's life is easy. Just because you have a difficult life or, you know, unfortunate circumstances, someone else, your neighbor who you think has a great life, their doors are closed. You don't know what torment they're going through. And so it's not for us. We pass a lot of automatic judgments on ourselves and on people, like without even thinking about it, you know?
Well, because we don't have time to think about it. That's what I was saying about the problem. We
need
to, we learn to make snap decisions, and that's, you know, that's a survival thing that we've developed, because when there were neighboring tribes with spears, we didn't have time to go, hey, maybe they're just coming over to borrow a cup of sugar.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've, you know, and the people who didn't have a fear response often ended up dead.
Right.
And so it's the, you know, it's the people who had the fear response or were more precautious are the ones who live to pass on their genes. It's survival of the scaredest.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad thing. It's just that it we're still using it in ways that that aren't necessary. So we're having these fear responses. So, you know, with the tapping, there, it's often said, there's two emotions, there's fear and there's love, and that which isn't fear is love. So as we tap away the fear, all that's left is love.
Uh-huh.
So we tap away what doesn't feel like love. And that doesn't mean, again, I know I'm repeating myself, just so people don't think that it's some sort of Pollyanna thing where, you know, if I'm in a place of love, then it's like, okay, whatever people do is fine. I just feel so loving towards everybody. No, in a place of love, we can still say, okay, what needs to be done to make the world a better place?
actually, I think that is loving, to actually face your responsibilities. Like, this whole thing about Fukushima, this is why, like, when I heard about St. Louis, I sort of adopted them. Because I have this radio show and this venue, they're getting lost, and I felt like it's on my watch. It's my duty as an adult and a loving human being to help them come to some... Like, I believe that the people that are living right next door to that dump site really... Their children are getting cancer. Their husbands are getting sick. People are dying. Real lives are being affected, and they're living tormented, fearful lives. And I genuinely, that's why I'm so grateful that you were able to be on the radio show, because I know since I've adopted the city, every Monday I make an effort to interview a local activist from St. Louis. Mm. Or just a local, they don't have to even be an activist, just a resident. I want their stories to get out on the air.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I have talked to them, not on the air, but privately, is about EFT, because emotional freedom technique releases you from the fear cycle. It doesn't make the problem go away. It just makes you able to cope with it better.
Yeah, and we've also seen all kinds of physical benefits, because so many illnesses are stress-related, that the body becomes stronger, our immune systems become stronger. Now, I'm definitely not making any claims of, yes, as long as you tap, you can live right in the heart of a nuclear site. And
right.
You'll be immune to it. But we do become healthier and stronger and can heal more quickly. But again, it's about having the clarity of mind to look and say, okay, what do we need to do here?
Right.
And, you know, it'd be great if every time, you know, having people tap every time they listen to your show so that they don't get triggered and go, oh, I just go into a place of fear. It's like, no, hear the information right. and be able to use it and to make positive choices and make a difference.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, you're an EFT counselor, you're a consultant, you stand in front of a lot of people. How often do you tap? Like, I know I tap every single day since I've learned it. Almost every day something will come up. Or many, frankly, I would say at least 3 to 4 times a week. While I'm in the shower, I'll do a tapping session. But, you know, you wake up and you've got, boom, something on your brain right away. Your head immediately fills up with issues you got to deal with, right? So since I learned this technique, when I'm in the shower, I just take an extra 3 or 5 minutes, create my own little tapping session, and I get out, and I'm, man, I can just manage it. It's not that the problem goes away. But so how often do you use this technique personally? I mean, is it something that you still do after all these years that helps you cope?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the great things about my work is that I'm tapping when I'm working with clients. So I tap on myself while they're tapping.
Right.
So I get to do that. I generally do it first thing in the morning when I get up. I don't tap in the shower because we have a drought here, so we can't make our showers longer in California.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I'm sorry. I guess my carbon footprint is big. I should have thought about that. Here I go again. I need to tap. I'm feeling really guilty about that.
No, as long as not, it's just those of us living in a drought. That's one of the nice things about traveling and doing workshops in other places is I get to take long showers without any guilt. But yeah, I tap on a daily basis. I encourage people to tap on a daily basis. It's not that, because it's not like tapping is just for, oh, you just tap when you have a problem. Because to me, well, for one, nothing is so good that it can't get better.
Right.
You know, why, our lives can always get better no matter how great they are, so why not? It's such a simple thing to do. But the main thing is that stress happens. We pick up stress all the time, whether we're listening to radio shows or the television or reading the newspaper or just listening to people, you know, peripherally in the grocery store, hearing them complain about this, that, or the other thing. And there's this negative energy. And we pick that up, and we like to think that we're Teflon and it slides right off us, but that's just not the case.
Right.
Everything is energy. We pick that stuff up. So we're picking up little bits of stress little by little by little. Until the point where someone says something and we blow up at them, you know, we're there, or something minor happens, you know, we can't find a pencil. It's like, where's the guy? And we're swearing our heads off because we can't find a pencil.
Right, exactly.
It's because the stress is built up. So to me, tapping is energy hygiene. So we have physical hygiene like brushing our teeth and taking a shower. Most of us take a shower and brush our teeth on a daily basis. We don't wait until, you know, after a few days and people are holding their nose and walking away from us. And then we go, oh, hey, now it's probably time to brush my teeth and take a shower. Mm-hmm. We just do it as a matter of upkeep. Mm-hmm. And clean off this stuff before the filth, before it builds up. So the same with stress. Whether you can see it or not, whether you're aware of it, just you can do any kind of tapping, and you don't have to have a major issue of, you know, even though I'm dealing with this abuse or something like that, it can be, you could just say certain phrases, I'll say certain prayers sometimes, or you know, you can tap while saying the Serenity Prayer, you can tap while singing a song, while just saying thank you over and over again.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So just a like one of the things that I have do that I learned was when I really honestly, when I want to heighten, I'm not in any kind of an anxiety mode, but when I'm going into something and I want it to improve, like you're going to experience something, you know, I tap before I get there, and I just basically tap on myself. And my phrase is, I deeply and completely love, honor, and approve of myself. And I, you know, my teacher basically said, you know, you can't, especially I think perhaps a child from my background, I don't think I could say that enough in my life, because I had 18 years of like, you know, the opposite of what should have happened. You know what I mean? And should, isn't that a phrase, the word should, you know?
Well, yeah, don't should on yourself, and don't let others should on you. And don't should on other people. I don't think anyone can hear I love myself too much. Some years ago, it just hit me. It's like, God, my real job is teaching people to love themselves.
Right. That's right.
When we love ourselves, we treat ourselves so much better. We have so much programming that tells us to hate ourselves, uh-huh. Particularly if there's anything wrong. Oh, you're not getting good enough grades in school? You should feel bad about yourself. Oh, you're overweight? You should feel bad about yourself. And so we beat ourselves up in hoping that will motivate us.
Right.
But it doesn't work. Right. It just makes us feel worse. And when we feel worse, we need to comfort ourselves. And we often find unhealthy ways of doing that. So it's like what I've been saying, the thing I keep repeating about, you know, if we feel good, that doesn't mean we're just going to say become complacent and go, oh, okay. So like when I'm working with people on weight loss or things like that, say, stop beating up on yourself. And if you say, I love myself, even right where I am, 40, 50 pounds overweight, that doesn't mean you're going to say, oh, well, then I'm not going to bother to take care of myself because I already love myself just as I am. No, when you really love yourself, you want to take really good care of yourself.
Right.
You want to give yourself the best foods and exercise that helps your body feel good. Mm-hmm. When we really love ourselves, you know, if you have children, you really love your children. It's like, oh, I love my children so much. I just want to give them Pop-Tarts and cake all day long.
Right. That's not love.
That's not love. When we love our children, we want to teach them how to live lives in the best way. And unfortunately, if our programming is messed up, then our attempts to teach our children what's best is going to be messed up. So very often, and you know, I don't know your background, but very often when parents are abusive, they're doing the best they can to raise their child to live the best life possible, but from a place of really messed up programming.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's like you get a cabinet from IKEA, but you've got the directions for how to put together a lamp.
Mm-hmm.
So they're teaching you how to put together a lamp when that's not appropriate. There's an underlying intention that's positive. You know, I want you, the classic is the Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue. Terrible thing, raising, you know, giving his son the name Sue. But he says at the end, I did it because I wanted you to make it through life. And I believed that this would help you make it through life.
Uh-huh.
You know, as inappropriate as it
as
was.
As that was, exactly. Well, do you know who Edward Bernays was, the social engineer? Because I believe that part of what's happened in our culture is we've been socially engineered to live in fear. And so for me, I really believe it's important. Like, I really appreciate what you just said about the super greedy and the super rich, because I've gone through that myself. Like, why are they doing that? And I really heard for the first time an explanation of how they, it's because they have a programming that tells them that they never have enough, that it's okay to step on people.
Yeah, right? And happy, healthy people don't do that. So you can look at them and you can say, wow, they, you know, they've got houses on five continents and a private jet and a yacht. They must be so happy. It's like, if they are breaking laws and hurting people and causing harm, they are not happy, healthy people. Now, that's not to say that all rich people are not happy and healthy, because there are people who have plenty of houses and are doing really good things and are not harming people mm-hmm. or the environment.
Right.
So it's not money.
Right.
It's fear.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's an interesting thing, because, on my YouTube channel, I'm reading books. I'm reading Dr. John Goffman's book. But I often tell people, put your courage feet on. Because I believe that in America, people have forgotten their courage. Like, they're so conditioned to just, like, as long as everything's fine in their life, they don't even recognize that they're living in fear. They think they're living a normal life, that this is just how it is. And I think we have to make a conscious effort to walk in love, to put your courage feet on, to, like, do it anyways. Even if you're afraid, just walk through it. This is why EFT freed me, because I had the courage as a child to walk through some very heavy circumstances. And even as a young woman, because my life was a disaster as a child, in my early adult life, I created disasters in my early life, right?
Because that was normal for you.
Actually, you know what? That is 100% true. It seemed completely normal that I was in an abusive relationship for 10 years. And I used to tell him, at least he doesn't beat me. Like that was really, that was the
good thing. If he treated you at that point in your mindset, if he treated you with compassion and care, you would have been going, what is wrong with you?
Right. And actually, I was not attracted to people that respected me and treated me like that.
Because it was unfamiliar. It didn't feel like what you had understood family and closeness and love were. And it wasn't because you were bad or stupid. It was because of your programming.
Right, exactly. And this is where EFT really freed me up. And that's why I say, like, when I discovered what happened, maybe on an unconscious level, when I heard about Fukushima, I couldn't face it. So maybe that's why. I literally had a dream in May of 2012, went to the internet in the middle of the night and went, oh my God, those nuclear power plants are still in meltdown. They're in melt-through. We're in China syndrome on three nuclear power plants and blah, 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 blah. And then I went, oh my God, I got to do some tapping.
That's tap right now.
Yes,
this is a cue to everybody to start tapping.
That's right. And I like that idea of just doing it on your collarbones, because the process of EFT is you start, there's certain places, like if you're going to do a session, you start like on the karate chop of your hand, you go to the top of your head, there's corner on your eyebrow, the corner, you can look on these, people can go to this. If you know, I do encourage people to go to your website and really find out about EFT, because honestly, you get freed. It's a beautiful experience to live life. We are living in a time where it is we're redoing what we thought was our normal culture. And when I often hear people say, wake up, Americans need to wake up and just stop. And I really believe that people are awake. They are intentionally ignoring things because they just, like my friend Jenny, she said, you know, Lonnie, I know you're right about all this stuff about Fukushima. She goes, but I honestly, if I really thought our government was doing all this stuff to us, I'd have a nervous breakdown. And I said, well, look, you don't have to have a breakdown. You can learn EFT.
Yeah.
She's like, well, her resistance to even doing EFT, she'd rather stay under pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
That's a challenge for me. And so how do we cope with that? Like when we have friends and family members who refuse to help themselves improve certain aspects, like what's a good suggestion do you give to family members, to people, on how to cope with your family? Like, what do you do with that?
I had someone on a teleclass once, and she said, there's so many in my people who need, so many people in my family and in my life who need to tap. And she was really upset about it. And I said, at this moment, I only hear one person who needs to tap. And we did some tapping on her need for other people to tap. And, you know, I mean, it's like we said, we want people to get their courage feet on and to make a difference. And this is why I have over 600 videos on YouTube.
Right.
That it's trying to make it as easy as possible for people to clear their fear, to find the love, to realize how powerful they are. We're told that we're powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes by people who want us to be powerless because they're afraid, and they're afraid of who we can be. And sometimes by well-meaning people. You know, one of the killer expressions is, well, don't get your hopes up, because then you won't be disappointed, because there's this fear of being disappointed. If you try, you may fail, and then you'll be disappointed. So better to not try. Well, if we all followed that, we'd still be living in this Stone Age. So we need people to step up. Everyone's here for a purpose. Everyone here has something they can do to make the world a better place, but they don't know it. They've been experience and people telling them things has told them you're powerless. I was just reading an article yesterday about how people become radicalized, and it comes from a place of, you know, being convinced, well, you know, you don't really matter, and you know, all this stuff. And when you become hopeless, and then this promise of, well, you can be part of something bigger, people become desperate. So if, you know, I put the videos out, I can't force people to watch them, but knowing that if it's out there, there's a chance people will allow themselves to wake up and move past the fear. We're resistant to change. Change is scary for us. And so we may say, you know what, my life is crap, but it's my crap. I know where it is. I know where to put it. I know where it goes. You know what? Yes, being on your friend, I know that being on all these drugs is crap, but I know how to pick them up at the pharmacy. I'm used to taking them. You know, it works. It's not ideal, but it works. And so we fall into a place of not even realizing or even remembering that there's another way. And totally get that people are doing the best they can. And so we put it out there. You do your radio show. I do my videos. Put it out there, and folks can, as folks start clearing their fear, it's like, hey, wait a minute. I'm not so pathetic as I thought I was. I'm actually pretty awesome. And here I have something. I have an idea that could really make a difference. Maybe just for one person. Maybe for the entire planet. You know, there's no requirement. Not everyone is meant. It needs to be, you know, a superstar personality who's making a difference, you know, on a global level. It may be just making a difference running a daycare center with three kids.
Right.
It may be just how you treat one other person.
Right. And that actually is very fundamental. We live in this culture that tells us we have to be famous, we have to be rich, we have to be, you know, we have to be making a difference. And really, this is what I say to my children and what I said to my friend Jenny. Like, the issue is not about that we're going to change the world and we're going to stop the Fukushima and make TEPCO and all the nuclear industry. The issue is we have to take, I believe we have a mission, a spiritual mission. When you're living in harmony with your mission, you actually feel good no matter how daunting the challenge. You're happy about completing the task.
Yeah, it's the journey, not the destination.
Right. And so the EFT is I really love the idea that you said. It's kind of like personal upkeep every day. Like, we take a shower,
yep,
and to clean off the physical stuff. And the EFT kind of clears out the emotional baggage, like the programming that we have gotten, like the bombardment of you must comply. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all those shoulds.
Yeah, shoulds. Yeah, don't let anybody should on you. I like that. So, well, let's see. Well, there was another thing. I beg your pardon, but I was going to ask you about the overall, when people are, where can people go to get, if someone feels like they need to have a personal tapping session? Now, is this something they would contact you about if somebody wants to have a teacher show them how to do it? or are there classes, are there seminars, are there EFT teachers in their neighborhoods? Is this a wide network of people that teach
this? Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
Those are all, on my website, tapwithbrad.com, I do some personal sessions. I also do teleclasses and also live events.
Where's your next live event?
My next live event, at present, it looks like the next in-person live event is going to be in Atlanta in March.
Nice.
Haven't quite got all the details worked out, but Atlanta and then Orlando, Florida is the plan for March. And then I'll be in May in Detroit and Cincinnati and a couple other places. So still working out the calendar for next year.
Are these like seminars where people pay a little bit of money to get in and have a seminar with you? Is that what happens?
Yes. Either 2 hour seminar or the one in Atlanta will be a full day.
Wow.
So, but there are a lot of, I mean, you can go on YouTube and type in EFT, and there's a number of us who have put a lot of videos up where you can follow along. There are classes, there are teleclasses, there are manuals you can read, and there are a lot of practitioners. So I think I have a link on my website to where, besides myself, where you can find other practitioners. But
that's really awesome.
You can just Google EFT practitioners, and there are a lot of people doing it. And it's very beneficial to work with someone else, because here's the thing is, we are designed to protect ourselves.
Exactly.
And so a lot of times we won't allow ourselves to figure out what's blocking us, because part of us is saying, no, we're doing fine. Life is crap, but we're fine.
Right.
And because we don't want to change. And so having someone outside of you who can say, no, come on. It's like having a personal trainer, and, you know, when we're doing push-ups and we go 1, 2, 3. Oh, that's good. And a personal trainer says, come on, 10 more.
Right. Well, you know what? That's actually true, because this is the thing. I know that worked for myself. See, this is my the people that I know that I chat with about EFT. What's interesting is I'll send people your videos. They have this anxiety. They'll watch the video, but they don't do the tapping. It's like they tell them, this is not watching a movie. It's about you manifestly changing. It's important for you to actually touch your own body, do the tapping. And, you know, I was told you don't have to repeat the words. It just makes it stronger. As long as you're hearing the words and tapping, your unconscious brain picks it up. But verbalizing the words as you're doing the tapping session, it's kind of like these tapping videos that we find on YouTube. And frankly, you have some awesome, your videos are very important in my life. I'll tell you what, anytime I need anything, I just type that thing in. But it's a kind of like a tap along. It's like it's like a show and tell, and you copy what they're doing on the video. If you don't do that, you're not going to make the change. Just listening to the videos is not going to change your life or how you feel.
Yeah, there's the physical component. It's the mixture of the physical component, and the words helps us to get into that emotional place. You know, it's like if you spill something on your kitchen floor and you get the mop. And you can be kind of standing around and mopping, but not going near where the mess is.
Right.
Talking about it and allowing ourselves to get into that emotional place puts us right there where the mess is, so that the mopping is more effective.
Right.
But just tapping, even tapping silently, can be beneficial. It's still calming the body down.
It's true.
And there are a lot of times where I'll tap without saying anything.
Like being stuck on an airplane in the middle of six people. Like, that's what I did flying out here. I'm in Louisiana right now, and I was in the middle of, like, all these people. Like, talk about social engineering, sticking us in this shell with all these people invading your personal space because the seats are too close, right? And then you're being pivoted across the planet at 600 miles an hour, hoping some guy in the front of the plane is going to do his job right. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, I think I need to tap. And I'm sitting there in the plane, tapping my head and tapping. I'm like, I could calm down and relax for 3 hours now. So,
I get the resistance to tapping. I mean, I've often said, I could go to a group of people and I could say, if I could teach you a simple technique that will relieve your stress like nothing you've ever found, that can help you with your personal issues, your financial issues, it can make your life better, would you be interested? And people would say, oh, absolutely. And then I say, okay, so take your fingertips and tap right here on your face. And then they go, you know what, actually, we're good. We're good. Our lives are fine. Uh-huh. Because the tapping looks a little strange.
You do feel awkward. It does feel awkward.
And there's part of us, because we have a lot of programming about looking cool.
Right.
And it's, you know, now I'm at a point where I've been doing it for so long in front of so many people on YouTube. And, you know, I'm fine. I think I look very cool tapping on my face. But but some people, for most of us, it feels very uncool and it feels wrong. And so they avoid it. Another reason why so many people will be so resistant, you know, and they'll say, oh, yeah, like, where's the research? This is stupid. It's like, well, there's actually a lot of research. There's, you know, there have been over 60 studies in peer review magazines. There's plenty of research to back up the effectiveness of tapping, but people will insist that there isn't. They'll do plenty of things that don't have nearly the research. But because the tapping looks a little strange, but two, people get very resistant because if something this simple can actually change their lives, then they're going to have to, there's a possibility of change. And again, we're resistant to change.
Right. And I think if you've had, like myself, I know when I first learned EFT, I am grateful that I had a teacher, you know, that I had someone, her name is Freda, and she actually helped me. My first session was an hour and a half. It was planned to be a half an hour, but she was so kind and so gentle with me because I had a lot of baggage going on. I couldn't break through. That's why I just felt desperate. It was just like, okay, I'm going to try. That's another word I hate is the word try, but I'm going to try this one thing. And when I went in there, she kept going because the tears, my emotionals, there was so much stuff that was coming out of me that I had forgotten that was releasing as we were talking about. We went in to talk about how uncomfortable I had been living in Eugene, and it transitioned into all of my childhood, some of my stuff that was really buried so deep. And when I walked out, it was like nothing in my life had changed. It was the most bizarre thing. All of my circumstances in my life were completely the same, but I was able to cope. And
your attitude had changed.
I felt happy for the first time in 7 years. I mean, seriously, it was like, wow, I can actually manage living with these stinky, smelly hippies. Like, really? Seriously. I'd never moved to a town where you could smell people from across the table. You know what I mean? Like, so that was a challenge.
Even though these people smell bad, I choose to love and accept myself.
Exactly. I did some of that, actually. Yeah. Because, I wanted to really love them genuinely, but I felt some resistance. Like, I had my own programming about if you're stinky and smelly, just, you know, like, they're not bad people. They just don't have it's kind of like the tap. That's why I love that analogy of the personal hygiene. Because tapping is like personal hygiene for me.
Yeah. Yeah, we may, and it's funny because while you're programming was to be intolerant of people who put off an odor, you were totally accepting and expected people to put off a negative stress and odor.
Right, exactly.
An energetic odor. It's like, oh, that's perfectly acceptable to me because that's what I'm used to.
Right.
So
that's the interesting dichotomy when you really begin to explore this process. So it's a very interesting thing. And this is the beautiful thing that I love about tapping is it allows us to really discover ourselves and our lives. It doesn't mean that all of our problems are gone, but we are able to now manage it and manage our mission. Like in faith, like Fukushima's on our watch. I believe every person in our culture has a responsibility to stop the nuclear insanity because they are killing our planet. But, you know, that's my feeling. That doesn't mean that's someone else's feeling that they have a responsibility to do that. I've had to deal with this one over the last few years, right? But this is what I mean. It allows us to grow and see the world in a larger picture outside of our own little bubble.
Yeah, and it allows us to manage our attitude. There are things that we cannot control outside of ourselves, like whether or not other people take a shower.
Right.
But we can change our attitude about it, because very often what's upsetting us so much is not, oftentimes it's not what is happening, but it's our attitude about it. You know, like with Fukushima, there are the physical effects, but a lot of the upset is, and it means that they don't care about me and they don't like me and they're willing to hurt me and they're willing to make profit off of me. And so a lot of what's upsetting us is purely emotional, has nothing to do with the physical effects of radiation.
Right.
And so it's allowing ourselves to clear that and go, these people aren't even aware of me. It's not,
right.
There's not a personal attack here. So I can let go of that upset, which then gives me a lot more freedom mentally and physically to make changes in the world.
Right. Exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, look, Brad, we have about, I think, 3 minutes left. And what I'd like to do, and I don't know if you'd be open to this, I didn't even actually ask you this before we started the show, but I'd like to sort of explain a little bit of a tapping session as we end, to do maybe a little bit of a real quick bit of a tapping where we can suggest someone actively engaged, like just take your fist and tap on your chest. Yeah. Is that what people should do, is tap right at that that little cornerstone clavicle point?
Yeah, that's... With 3 minutes, you asked me this, Lonnie?
I know!
I get complaints on YouTube because my videos sometimes go longer than 5 minutes. It's like, if you had any idea, I'll sometimes do a tapping round that goes 20, 30, 40 minutes. So it's hard to do it in a few minutes.
But what I mean is when we hang up, people can actually do some intentional... words in terms of just because that little point on your clavicle, how it was explained to me, that's kind of like your emergency go-to place. It helps you connect with a lot of your center.
Well, and based on acupuncture, the different points are end points of different meridians. Meridians are pathways of energy through the body. And in some schools of thought, these different meridians are associated with different organs, and these different organs are associated with different emotions. So the point on the collarbone point is associated with the kidney, which is associated with fear. So if we're saying that there's love and there's fear, fear is what blocks love. And it's sort of at the root of all of the uncomfortable feelings that we feel. I don't like to use the term negative emotions, because all emotions are part of being human. They all have a purpose, but they can be uncomfortable, and we often get stuck in them. So as we tap on that point, we're clearing out fear. There's a point at the beginning of the eyebrow, the side of the eye, under the nose, under the mouth, collarbone, under the arm. And again, if you go to YouTube and type in EFT, type in Brad Yates, or if you go to tapwithbrad.com and click on videos, you'll be taken to see what, again, I've got over 600 videos on all kinds of different issues. So it's very easy to go and follow along and get a quick experience. Some of them are only a couple of minutes long. Get a quick experience of what it's like to tap through this. And so you can allow yourself to see, okay, I feel, and you might...
So, Brad, I don't mean to interrupt you. We have 10 seconds.
Nope.
This is me being a new radio personality host. Thank you so much for joining us, and put your courage feet on, everybody. Really, I really appreciate it.